Today we are talking about spirit-filled reinforcements. Spirit-filled reinforcements. Because the last 2 weeks we talked about spirit-filled armor or the battle that we're in. And the battle is real. Satan wants to destroy. He wants to kill. He wants to rob. He wants to take away from God's glory. He wants to diminish our effectiveness. And he wants to, and he creeps in and he uses strategies and he uses different things. We talked about the armor of God. We talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes. We talked about the shield of faith. We talked about the helmet of salvation. We talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But today there's two more. And these are kind of like another layer of protection. And we'll see them here in verses 18 to 24. And they're there in your notes. It's prayer and people. God has provided us with prayer and people to help us in the battle. And we want to look at that this morning. And I think one of the realities of the spiritual battle we're in, we're not immune to bumps and bruises and scratches and struggles in our weariness, tiredness, soreness, as we are involved in the battle. It can be hard, it can be difficult, it can be time-consuming, and yet God provides people and prayer as a balm, as a healing measure to protect, to comfort us and to encourage us and to keep us going, because it's important that we are walking with each other. And that's why the verse really resonates, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, because that's the body of Christ. That's the family of God. That's us working together alongside each other, moving forward for God's glory. So we come here, and let me read them to you, and then we'll pray, and then we'll move forward. Verses 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Father, this morning we are grateful, Father, for your word. We are grateful that, Father, it heals, it encourages, it convicts, it sets out the path for us. It reminds us of who you are. It reveals who you are. Help us to dig, help us to search, help us to move forward with that. Now, Father, we pray for your Spirit to open our eyes, to illuminate us, to give us the opportunity to not only see what it says, but to put it into practice. For that, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you, how many of you are involved in the Luke reading for the book of December? How's it going? It's just really been really powerful, huh? Pray that it continues to be powerful. Pray that you make the time. It can be hard. I know it can be hard. And I still have to do my reading for today. Today is day, what, 8? And so, you know, again, keep at it. Let me encourage you. If you miss a day, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You know, just start with the next day and keep going. Keep going at it. But it's truly been a blessing. If you haven't heard of that, we've been reading through the month of December. One chapter of Luke. Luke has 24 chapters, so that you will read the last chapter on Christmas Eve, and you'll have a clearer vision or a clearer understanding of who Jesus Christ is. So when you celebrate on Christmas, you celebrate the real Jesus. So I just want to encourage you with that. So the first one is prayer. Prayer, and I have entitled this Shared Support. Because as we think about the battle, I was never in the military, but the platoon or the company, they're in it for each other. They're in to support one another. And they have a line of communication to speak air support or for this or for that or to warn or to get updates. My uncle was a Marine in World War II in Guadalcanal. He had one of the Navajo wind talkers with him because my uncle had the radio. And so they would communicate back and forth, and it was the Navajo language that the Japanese could not break the code. It was just them speaking. It was no secret code. It was the Navajo language. And they communicated back and forth. You know, when Chita was in the Army, he had the radio also in his platoon. I said, Mijo, how do you not sleep and miss the call? He said, Dad, you just train yourself. You train yourself to hear the call. You train yourself to hear your company or your platoon number. You train your ear. And friends, I think that's where you and I need to work on, is training our ear, training our heart to respond to and to call out to God and to find his answers, because God answers us. God answers us, not in some mystical kind of moment. He answers us through the word of God. He answers us through the encouragement of others. And so prayer is vital, especially, you know, John Piper, former pastor of Bethlehem Church in Minneapolis, called it wartime prayer. Because that's what we're in. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And some of you have felt that. Some of you have bumped yourself. Some of you have scraped your knees. Some of you have had difficult times, whether it's because of your own choices that you're suffering consequences or just because life happening. But nonetheless, Satan wants to trip us. Satan wants to distract us. Satan wants to redirect us. And so we must come to the reality that through prayer, a shared concern goes out. Because notice what he says. Notice what he says in verse 18. With all prayer, pray at all times, with all perseverance, for all the saints. Notice the word all there. All. What does all mean? All, right? Everything, right? So we're praying for, with all prayer. All of our prayer needs to be made. And we need to pray in the Spirit, which is power, right? The Holy Spirit, that we stand strong in the power of His might. It's not by, what does Zechariah 4:6 say, Eddie? Not by power nor by might. Oh, Eddie's not here, I'm sorry. Not by. And with this in view, be on the alert with all prayer. Not very alert, are we? You need to teach your children to be alert when they're on the street. You need to teach your children to be alert when they're walking down to school. If your kids walk to school, how many of us are watching? You know, we've had a few shootings. As the police are, and as aware as they try to be, these things still happen. Friends, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. This is what one preacher said. All kinds of prayer, all the time, for all kinds of people, pray always. And I think if we're going to do something in 2020, it's pray more. Pray more specifically. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray because the battle's real. You know, over the past month, maybe, I've gotten word that a few different people who used to attend here aren't walking with the Lord anymore. We need to cover them. We need to think about those who are here. We need to pray for each other. There was a rattlesnake in the middle of the road. And everybody that was coming back as I passed it for the snake. Watch out for the snake. And you know, isn't that a reality today as Christians? Well, I don't know. I don't know if any snakes talked at the time. A talking snake? Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Sometimes things happen that don't make sense. God, what's going on here? God, I need your help. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your strength. Paul tells Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. You know, it was some long time ago. I was reading a bicycle magazine. And these are guys who are out on the road bikes, And one of the suggestions was, one of the tips was, to take a drink of water every 10 to 15 minutes. Don't wait until you get thirsty, because it's late. You're behind. Friends, and you know, sometimes prayer, we only pray when I'm thirsty, or when I'm having a problem, or when a great opportunity arises. We don't pray just to pray. You know, can you imagine if you only talked to your spouse when you were hungry, or when you needed something, and or when there was a problem? No amen? Maybe that's what some of you are doing now. But what kind of a relationship are you going to have? Paul tells Timothy, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And isn't that something that should take root today? Because there's a lot of wrath and dissension out in the world. But we are called. We are the called ones. Again, Paul is talking to Timothy, a young pastor. And he's saying, get them together. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get together. Let's pray. Pray at all times. All kinds of prayers. For all kinds of people. Don't just pray for your holy huddle. Don't just pray for the small group of close friends. Don't pray just for your family. Pray for those difficult people in your life. Now come with me to verse 19. Paul says, now where's Paul when he writes this? He's in prison or jail. Okay? Not the most comfortable place, right? But listen to what he prays for. Pray on my behalf that utterance, the right words, may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now, what would you and I be asking them to pray for? Get me out of here. Get me a good lawyer. Pray that God would deliver me. Pray that I would at least get on the penthouse of the prison. But his prayer is not for him per se, but it's for him to have the ability in prison to be able to speak forth the gospel. And to do so with boldness. To do so without fear. To do so without fear of retaliation or a guard being upset. And we know later in one of the other epistles that many in the Praetorian Guard, which was the elite guard in the Roman Empire, had come to know Christ. Even people in Caesar's own household. Because of the boldness of Paul. See, when we're praying, if we were to take a percentage, how much of the percentage of your prayer time is for personal needs? And what percentage of your time praying is for other people? And maybe we need to adjust that balance. Now, it's okay to pray, Lord, you know, help me to be wiser so I can effectively preach the word or share the gospel. Remove the fear, the intimidation, whatever it is that's holding you back from speaking out. Paul doesn't think primarily of himself. He's thinking of the gospel. Because he says in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, which that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, when the battle comes, it's not a time to hunker down in the foxhole. It's not a time to hide. It's not a time to retreat. But it's a time to step forward with prayer. Why? Because God is with us. And we are called to be more than conquerors in Him. Now, we don't foolishly go look for a fight. But neither do we back down when the truth is on the line. When a person's soul is on the line. I've always wondered if I was ever kidnapped. I had to be some pretty strong guys to carry me. Would I be able to take some time? Before you do anything to me, let me share the gospel. So after you beat me or kill me, you can know about Jesus. You can find your way back to salvation. You go to this church in Pico Rivera, they'll tell you about Jesus. You know, I don't know. I could bravely talk about it and dream about it and fantasize about it, but what would we do in the middle of a trying time? What do we do in the middle of trying times? Maybe it's not as severe as being kidnapped or beaten or shot at. It's simply being in a disagreement with your neighbor who's loud or obnoxious or always smoking the pot or whatever. This is a time to go and proclaim. It's a time to take our spiritual armor and stand strong, to let our light shine, to go forth, not to be intimidated. It's a time for focused prayer, because it's the gospel that will save hearts. And you know what? The fiercest battle, I believe, is around the gospel. And its proclamation. And its sharing. I believe there's a fierce battle there. Why? Because Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Satan wants to cut that power off. Satan is that bird that goes and scoops up the seed. In the parable of the sower and the seed, when he's out there sowing the seed. That Satan's like a bird. He comes and he eats the seed. How many of you ever try to plant grass seed? And all you find is a bunch of birds out there having a good lunch. And that's what birds do. Satan wants to take the word of God away from you. He wants to block your ears. We were at a conference, Sarah and I. She'll verify it. The speaker started off a little insulting in something he said. Sarah told me after, she said, man, I just wanted to walk out. But that's when I knew I needed to stay because God has something to say. And Satan was trying to keep me from hearing what God wanted me to hear. And the speaker delivered. Really delivered. Really powerful message, but he said something that was a little insulting. How many times do we let that happen? How many times do we get upset? How many times are we bothered when there's an opportunity for us to pray, let the gospel go, Lord, let the gospel speak, let the word of God speak, let the truth speak, let, you know, instead of saying, oh, look at Sister So-and-so, she thinks she can pull that dress off, oh, man, or look at Brother So-and-so, man, he's got so much cologne on. And I don't think we've ever officially said it, but you guys are aware of it. We're practicing inclusion with everybody and all their abilities and diverse abilities. We practice inclusion here, which can be a little bit noisy, which can be a little bit chaotic or seem like chaotic at times. But that's who we are as a church. We're practicing inclusion. We include everybody. Whatever your struggle is in life, we want you here. And so we are grateful for that, but it may be a little bit, at first, like, whoa, what's all this? Hey, you know what? Praise God. That's their joyful noise. The Lord. We had an older gentleman, he used to sit up front. He loved sitting up front. But because of the medication he was on, it made him sleepy. So he'd be snoring out loud during my message. But hey, he was here. Inclusion. Don't be distracted by it. Let it be a blessing. Let it be a time to praise God and to pray for the families. Let's consider. John Piper writes, the aim of our warfare is that people would accept the terms of peace that God holds out, namely faith in Jesus. A pastor that I met, who I had lunch with, he's revitalizing a church in Boyle Heights. And they had a big event for the community planned for last night. Friday night. And he wrote in a post. He says, man, I was discouraged because of the rain. I was thinking about canceling. And I said, you know, why are we going to go out there in the rain and get, you know. And then a few brothers, because fortunately he's been able to network with other churches and they've kind of come in to help him. He said, brother, we can't cancel. We're going forward. And he says, you're right. We got to go forward. I saw pictures, and he says some people came to Christ Friday night. They had the games, they had the activities, they had the different things going on, the music, and it was just a powerful time. He says, you know what, I'm glad I didn't cancel. How many times are we quick to cancel out just because there's an issue that's really not an issue? Friends, let's pray. It's wartime prayers. Another pastor, his name's David, he writes, "Preaching is God's ordained means to save sinners and sanctify saints. It is a primary tool for the Lord deploys for the good of our soul. Pray for preaching. When we pray that we are calling on the commander-in-chief to deploy the resources of grace to help us in the battle." How many times do you pray for Wednesday night Bible study? You pray for our Sunday morning service? You pray for the women's Bible study? You pray for each of our daily readings? How much are we praying? I'm guilty. I'm guilty of not praying enough. But 2020 has to be the year that we pray. And that we pray more. And we pray often. Paul tells it in Luke, the Lord tells the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech or ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Friends, we need youth workers. We need children's workers. We need to have an outreach focus into our community, into our neighborhoods. But God is the one who's going to send those workers. If we're learning anything in this experiencing God's service, study, is that God is preparing us to go out and do his work. And God wants to use us to make a difference, to make an impact, to change people's lives for the glory of God. "But I can't do that, Pastor. I know you can't, but God through you can, right?" Well, no, what are you saying? God's not all powerful? That God's not capable? That God's not sovereign? That God's not in control? Yeah, he is, but... No, there's no buts. "Lord, whatever you have me to do. Not what the pastor wants me to do. Not what my spouse wants me to do. Not what my parents want me to do. But what God wants me to do." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will what? Direct your paths. Are we willing to surrender and submit to him directing our paths? Pray. "Lord, I need a better attitude. Lord, I need to overcome my fear. Lord, I need to," whatever it is, so we can go out and go forward. Prayer. The second reinforcement is people. And this I've entitled A Shared Life. You know that every one of you is important? And every one of you is needed here at Pico Verde Bible Church? And every one of you is useful? And everyone has a place to be involved here at Pico Verde Bible Church? I just don't know where you're supposed to be plugged in yet. And that's what we're praying for. That each and every one of you will be plugged in somewhere. First of all, that you'll be plugged into the kingdom. That you'll be a child, become a child of God. You'll surrender your life to Christ. That you'll be his children. That he will adopt you into his family. And that you will be used for his glory. That by that, you will be placed into a position to serve. There used to be a sign, I believe, up here. Some of you old-timers, what did it say? Saved to serve. We're saved to serve. We're not saved to sit. We're not saved to go to vacation. Although sitting is okay and vacation is okay, but we're saved to serve. And people, God sends us prayer as a reinforcement. We're praying for all kinds of people. We're praying for the boldness of the gospel to go out. We're praying for things that are beyond my personal selfish needs for others. And then he brings people. Look at verse 21. "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister." Now catch that. What is our calling? What are the qualities that we should possess as God's servants? That we should be what? Beloved and faithful. A beloved brother is a caring brother. A beloved brother or sister is one who prays. A beloved brother or sister is one who cares, who loves, who reaches out, who makes a phone call or a text, or responds to a tweet or a whatever else is there. But it's one and faithful. Follows through, steps up. calls to make sure that their job is taken care of. So Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. Now, it's not chisme, okay? That's not what he's talking about. He's not bringing the gossip down. He's simply bringing a ministry update so that people can pray more specifically for the ministry that Paul has in prison. Again, if you've been with us on Sunday nights, you saw how God is working at the prison down in Louisiana. For the life of me, the name Angola Prison. On how these are lifers, and yet there's a ministry of a Bible college and preaching and teaching the Word of God in the prison that has transformed the lives of so many of the prisoners. Friends, and we're out here. We have all the freedoms we want and we need. And see, we see a shared concern, a shared love. That Paul, and the reason Paul wants to tell them about what's going on, because he knows they're concerned. You know, some people want to, you know, sometimes I get prayer updates, and it's pretty much a brag session. Oh, we're doing this, and we're doing that, and, you know, I know you're the right guy, and, you know, it's all, you know, it's all about them. Paul's not that way. Paul's saying, look, I know you guys are brokenhearted that I'm in prison, okay? But I have a ministry in prison. I have an opportunity in prison. I have an opportunity to speak the gospel. And again, Paul, God stopped Paul from what he was doing, traveling, visiting churches and doing all this. So he had to be in prison, because out of prison, he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. And these are books that we still have that speak of the glory of God and the glory of the church and our completeness in Christ and the joy that we find in the Lord. Paul wrote those while he's in prison. He had a ministry. So don't think just because you've been sidelined for a while, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's other issues that are going on, that you cannot still be used. And that God cannot use you because you're not up front, or you're not visible, or you're not reaching hundreds. Paul was concerned for the Ephesians. They were heartbroken that here the minister of God, the church planter, the strong defender of the faith is in prison. How can that be? Why should that be? Paul's saying, God, I'm not there. God's got this. There's a purpose for me to be here. And I want to tell you about it. And he sends Tychicus to them because he has seen firsthand the peace of the Lord in Paul. To see that Paul is not stressed out. To see that Paul is eating. He's not depressed. And that he's not overwhelmed or bothered. But that Paul is living everything he's telling you. He's living it. He just happens to be in prison. But he's still faithfully serving. Paul sent a personal message to him. Tychicus was in the battle with him. Somehow, some way, the kind of prison wasn't they were all locked up and away from everybody. There was some kind of visitation there that Paul could have. So Tychicus could go in and he could hear Paul's heart. And that's what Tychicus communicated. Besides taking the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he sends a personal warmth. And friends, that's where you and I come in. You and I check on people. You and I follow up with people. You and I pray for people. You and I encourage people. You and I sometimes have to exhort people. You and I are in this love relationship with Jesus so that we might have a relationship with others. This isn't the only relationship we have with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but a relationship with each other. That other people matter. That they are important, whether they are in the body of Christ or not. Verse 22, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. In the book of Exodus, Israel was on the battlefield with another invading army. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur were up on the mountainside. And every time Moses lifted the staff, the Israelites won. The hard part was keeping his arms up. But they had Aaron, I was going to say Ben-Hur, but Aaron and Hur, who got a rock for Moses to sit on, and then they stood holding up his arms to support him so that Israel would have victory. Now, what I want to communicate with that story is, whose arms are you holding up? Who are you helping up? Who are you keeping them going on the right track? Who are you praying for? Who are you sending words of encouragement to? Who are you communicating with? Paul was saying, I need you. I need you guys to know what's going on. I need your prayers. You would think Paul, this guy who was afraid of nothing, why would he need prayer for boldness? Because he needed prayer for boldness. He wasn't afraid to admit he needed help. Who's your accountability partner? Who do you share with? Who can you tell anything to? And you know they'll pray for you, and they'll support you and encourage you and continue to love you even though they know what they know. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me there, please. Back to your left, a couple books, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The battle is real. We need to be in direct communication and recognize that people are used by God to bring encouragement, to bring a source of healing, a sense of help, a sense of peace, a sense of joy. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comfort, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, you ask, why am I going through this difficult time? Why did I have to go through this trial? And it may simply be so that you're prepared to help somebody else who has to go through this trial. If you're battling cancer and you're in chemo, who would you rather hear from? Me, who's never had chemo, who's never been through chemo, or somebody who's gone through it? Who do you think would have better understanding? Who do you think would have better words of comfort? And so sometimes God allows us to go through things so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. I told you the story. It came out in West Wing. The chief of staff, Leo McGarry, shares about the guy who fell in the hole. A lawyer went by and sent him a note. He said, bro, can you help me? Priest, I wrote a prayer, sent it down. And then his friend came by. Saw him in the hole. He said, hey, Frank, can you help me? He said, yeah, sure. And he jumped in the hole with him. He said, are you stupid or what? Now we both can't get out. He said, look, I've been down this hole before, and I know the way out. Sometimes we need to jump in a hole with somebody and show them the way out. Sometimes we need to get there, and God brings us and God gives us the trial as a gift so we can comfort somebody else. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering, which we also God has a plan for your pain. God has a plan for your struggle. God has a plan for your heartache. God has a plan for your brokenness. and it very well be to come alongside somebody else. Another illustration. I've shared it before. I think I've shared it multiple times. But it fits very well. I had a lot of pots in the backyard. I had set up a watering system. And I realized I forgot one pot. About 3 weeks later, I saw the pot. I said, oh, man, but hey, it's green. How's the plant staying green? It hasn't had water in 3 weeks. And then I said, I got to get to it. I got to see what's going on. And then when I saw the watering, when it was watering, what happened is the pot above it had a crack in it. And the water that was watering the top pot was going through the brokenness of the other pot to bless somebody else, to bless the plant, the pot below it. And friends, sometimes through your brokenness, you are blessing to others. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Paul didn't. And he's not asking to be let go or set free. He's asking for boldness so he can preach the gospel, so that people would come to Christ. The way we're going to change our country is by bringing the gospel, because then we start on people's hearts, and that's what needs to be changed. Paul ends with these words, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. That's what we would call a doxology, a burst of praise for what God is doing. My cousin Joe was a medic during Vietnam. He was tasked with the job of helping the wounded and getting the wounded back to a safe zone. And in doing so, he was probably the last person many of those guys ever saw as he dragged them out of the jungles in Vietnam. It took a toll on him, mentally, physically. But we all need a Joe in our life, don't we? Someone who's going to be there when we're wounded. Somebody who's going to be there when we're down. Somebody who's going to be there to help patch us up, like the Good Samaritan, right? And we have those kind of people in our church. But let me ask you this. Who's there to help Joe? His brother wrote, friend, look out for the people who've invested in you. Look out for the people who are pouring their lives into you. Look out for the people who are pouring their lives and impacting others. Don't think they have it all together. We don't. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your teachers. Pray for the youth workers. Pray for our worship team. Pray for one another. And we need to make 2020 the year that we prayerfully take the gospel to the streets. 2020 needs to be the year that we pray for church revitalization, not only in our church, but many other churches that are struggling. We need to pray 2020 to be a year that we pray for church planting efforts. Here in the States, especially. 2020 has to be the year we pray to deepen our relationship with God. 2020 has to be the year we pray as we press for godliness. 2020 has to be the year we pray as we pursue our sanctification. 2020 has to be the year we pray to build those efforts. I leave you with Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And that's the only place we can go, Father, is to you. For you fortify us, you strengthen us, you raise us up, you fix us from the inside out. I pray, Lord, that you would place your burden, a burden for the lost on our hearts, a burden to help and see churches succeed, a burden to reach as we are training and building workers for you. That, Father, we would take it to heart that we were saved to serve, and that we would be busy serving for your glory and your honor. Help us not to overlook and neglect those who are working hard at the ministry. Help us to pray for them, to encourage them. Help us to pray all kinds of prayers for all kinds of people at all times. May that be our what we're recognized as a church that prays. And Father, as you, our Lord Jesus went through the temple, he said that my Father's house is a house of prayer. May we truly be a house of prayer. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all.